You merely adopted the quarantine. I was born in it, raised in it. So what are you doing, Tyler? That's a little Dark Knight Rises for you there, because I'm mentally deficient from this. What are you doing, man?
I'm just hanging out, dude. What about you?
Getting ridiculous. That is what I'm doing. If you didn't notice, folks, the dude is tied up. He had some horrific STD. He couldn't do the podcast today. Sorry. Oh, no. Well, what it is, folks, if you haven't noticed, the schedule on the podcast has been a little bit screwed up this week. So we're going to, me and Chaz will have another fresh one out Thursday. We did an early one this week, but the musky guru himself, cue the epic music. The guru is here to answer all your burning musky questions. How are you, guru?
Dude, I am doing terrific. Musky season is approaching. My semester is almost over. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Tell everybody what you're studying in college.
I am studying general chemistry with a minor in environmental science. Uh-huh. And I get to do a lot of calculus in science, and it melts your mind.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert. It's a nerd. God, that stuff's painful, dude. You call me sometimes, and I try to. I'm of little to no help.
I'm tripping all the time on that stuff.
When we're getting into like college level physics and where you're at, it's stupid. But at least you come slumming and come over to the Musky 360 podcast on occasion here for our fun time questions. But before that. Last couple episodes, you've heard we've done a prize giveaway. We gave away some signed baits by Booker. We gave away some juniors in lines. I want to give away some more baits. What do you think?
Dude, it sounds great, man. Let's do it.
Everybody loves free baits, don't they?
I love free baits, man.
So I know you do. Actually, you know, that brings up that amazing. I catch this amazing fish on Joe Booker's show, right? You know exactly what I'm about to say. So yeah. I catch this killer fish, and literally Tyler the Bait Grub Andrews is begging for a Booker tailwire hook. This thing is like, oh, they won't send me no bait, Joe. Please, Joe, more baits, Joe, please, Joe. It is literally, you are the Tiny Tim of baits. More baits, please.
Oh, dude, I love free baits. You know what was more interesting about that trip is we spent that whole trip trying to get Booker to laugh.
Oh, we succeeded. We tore him. Oh, yeah. We tore him to hell in half bad.
Wookiee sounds talking about Star Wars in the book.
I do Can you do a better Wookiee than me? Do it. That sounds like my high school girlfriend. That's the worst. I can't do it. Booker does a mean Wookiee sound though.
Oh, dude, he's good.
If you see Joe at a Musky show, say, hey, I heard on the podcast you do a pretty mean Wookiee sound. Tell him Steve sent you. He'll love it.
The best thing to come out of that trip was the nickname Joda.
Dude, I love, like, all you guys listen to the podcast. That is epic. I've got a few emails from people laughing about that. Me and you, that was such a funny moment because we just wore him out, dude. Wore him out. It was just it. But a lot of that was, what did he say? He brought it upon himself.
Because, he said something about Yoda. And
no, it wasn't that. He said we're driving in the dark. Okay, if you can imagine this, listening here. Set and close your eyes, right? And then imagine you're going 75 miles an hour on a boat in that, like, complete darkness, right? And Joe Booker's driving the boat, but he's standing up. And he's not looking at the maps. So no. I'm looking at Tyler going, well, screw it. If this is the way I die, this is the way I die. I guess, you know, Joe Booker running me into the side of an island, there's worse ways to go. And me and you're looking at, and we go, how in, you know, God's name did you just drive the boat back? And he says, I just used the force is what he said. And that's why we tore him up. That's why we called him Yoda for the rest. Oh, you know.
What was it again? J.B. Rattler Castback, you must.
J.B. Rattler Castback. I cannot do a voice for crap. J.B. Rattler Castback, you must. You know, whatever. That's why he picked up the phenomenal name. Yoda the Musky Master. But yes, that was that was when we were turning around those giant rocks, and he said he used the force is where that came from.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But oh, Yoda. Anyway, yes, so I don't know how we ended up on that tip, but here's what I want to do. I want to give away some more free baits. Free baits, cue the music. I'm sure I'll put something in here that sounds cool. Okay, so anyway, here's what I want you to do. If you want a free bait, it might be a junior's inline, it might be a booker tail, it might be something out of my personal collection of crazy modified baits. I don't know yet, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to send an email to the app. You can do it through Ask a Pro, or you can just do it in the straight email form, whichever, any way you want to contact us here at the podcast. And I want you to put your name, and I want you to put your phone number, and I want you to put, like, what time after work it's good to call. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one person, and I'm going to bring you on the show for Musky Trivia. What do you think about that, Tyler? Some Musky Trivia.
Sounds amazing.
I'll call. I'll record it. I'll do some questions. If you get them right, you'll win a bait. If you get them wrong, you'll probably still win a bait, but it'll just be really dumb questions. It's like, you know, some musky trivia. So I think that'd be a fun way to give away a bait. So send in an email. Like I said, send me your phone number and when an appropriate time to call you is, and I'll reach out to somebody. We'll randomly pick someone out of the emails by, like, I'll point my finger at the screen and just sort of touch the screen. How's that? Does that sound fair?
It does.
It does. I mean, that's about as scientific as I'm willing to get. I might scroll up and down, and then I'll put my finger on the screen. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like take the mouse and move it back and forth. But I'll keep it as fair as possible. Send it in. I'll call one of you. We'll have a good time answering some stupid musky questions. It'll probably be like bait trivia or something. And we'll send out another free bait. So anyway, before we get into the meat and the taters here with the questions, Guru, what are you seeing up there in northern Wisconsin? You're over by Green Bay, right? So are you seeing ice or what's going on?
Oh, it's all thawed in Green Bay. It's actually mid-50s today. It's actually really nice out. Sawing up north, man. I'm getting pumped. I'm getting excited.
You know,
get out fishing.
I got a text earlier from one of my buddies, Brent, and they pulled one by accident on a crappie jig earlier today up real shallow.
Oh.
You know, so they're there. You know, season opens, what is it, 16th or 15th or something like that for you guys here very shortly. And the cool thing we're going to have, Tyler's got an article, some guys at the Musky Shop, Joe, Chaz, all of us are going to have some really cool season opener stuff to sort of point you guys in the right direction. We're just going to jump right into this. Ryan says he has a night fishing questions. He asked, do you fish the same spots at night that you fish during the daytime? For example, summertime, you find a pattern in open water, you know, in the early AM before the crowds come out to party and ski do and all the crap that they do. Man, isn't that annoying as skiers? Go find something else to do. He said, would you go out at night once the crowds leave and get back on that pattern? Or would you fish the weed beds? He says he's in northern Indiana in a shad-based lake. Lots of bait everywhere. You know, he said, we're doing a week-long family trip on a chain that has a good fishery but gets lots of traffic during the day. So, you know, we're looking at boat traffic, you know, and he's looking for boat traffic and if he needs to ever come that at night or what to do. I would say this, and I'll just fire off at this point. That's what Joe did for years.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask him about night fishing, it was never about like some insanity bite. It was, I'm the only dude there. I've got the place to myself. There's no jet skis or probably in his, you know, heyday of that was like water skiers and crap. You know, it's a much calmer environment. I mean, what do you think? I mean, is it, yeah, should he be fishing the same spots? I mean, what do you?
Absolutely. I don't see why the fish would move. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good spot's a good spot any time of any time of the day or night.
You know, well, I'd say he's saying, like, you know, this shad based, like, I fish shad based all the time. You know, I find those in open water a lot at night anyway. Pick, and here's my game. The way that I do this, let's say it's like a Memorial Day weekend or 4th of July or some just absolute Guggen fest, right? Like, literally, remember me telling you last year, dude, where I pulled up on, like, my A, like, number one spot and there's, like, a floating bounce house? Okay, so if you can imagine this, I'm down here in just hillbilly hell. And, you know, I pull into, like, my confident spot. Like, we're going to, you know, I'll crack one right off the bat with my client. And there is literally a bounce house on top of it. And there are filthy, dirty children bouncing everywhere. I'm like, this is as bad as it gets. I came back at night and still caught a fish. The fish didn't take off. They just went, oh, no, no, let's not do anything. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement, but what I would say is I would fish both. You know, I would fish some shallow, some open water on a shad-based lake, you know, at night. One thing I like, and you've done it with me, is a night fishing on this stuff. On the open water, you're really not worried as much. You know what I'm saying? You're not worried about, I'm going to bang into timber, I'm going to bang into the shoreline or something like that, which is somewhat of a relief. You know, if you're bringing your own boat and you got spot lock technology on your trolling motor, that's always a plus. But, you know, just the open water is a little bit less hairy, a little less scary. And I'm thinking off the top of my head, dude, a little trick I've got for open water fishing, by the way, is I will take glow sticks. Like, and we're having a rave out there. Ready to...
Musky rave.
So we're having the musky rave with the glow sticks. Me and Tyler literally just sweating and dancing until one jumps in the butt. Not even making a cast. They hear that. They jump in, don't they, Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
Every time. Anyway, so get your glow sticks. Take Molly out there with you. She loves to go fishing. And anyway, what I'll do is I'll take these glow sticks and I'll put them on bobbers, or I'll tie them to, like, the marker buoys at night, right? Because, like, the biggest thing that you'll notice is you've got your, like, your navigation or your maps or whatever, and you don't want all this light and you're always staring at it and you look at your screen and go back and forth. So if I have, like, a weed bed or something like that I'm going to fish, I'm going to try to mark it with glow sticks. It makes my life a lot easier.
Dude, that is such a great idea.
I've not talked about that on the podcast yet, but that's, like, my number one night trick is, you know that time when, like, it's that gloaming of, like, awful conditions where it's, like, that weird light, too dark, too much light to fish, too dark to not fish. You really can't see anything. It's sort of crappy. Like, it's not like primo. I'll go around and sort of mark my spots at that time. So I'll mark my weed beds. I'll drop a couple, like, marker buoys and put a glow stick on it. You know, mark my open water and take 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and sort of mark the areas I intend to fish after dark with glow sticks. So I've got, like, I'll mark it with, like, a blue and a red. So I know blue's the left side, red's the right side, and I'll start at the blue side, and I'll work my way down through that thing. And I've got my weed bed marked. I don't have to look at my fish finder the whole time and staring at that thing, and your eyes are going cross-eyed because you're looking at a bright screen, and then you're looking in the darkness. And so it allows you to sort of have a gauge for how far you are for that thing. So I'll try to make sure my first glow stick's on one edge, and I know that, like, from glow stick, I need to stay a cast off the thing. Does that make any sense?
Oh, man. I'm going to start doing that.
What if we rave, though, again? Are you ready, Tyler? Fired up. Rave music! I mean, you got to help me here. Are you ready? Thank you very much, folks. I'm sure you just turned the podcast off. On to the next question is Andrew. He says, fishermen hear and talk all the time about water temperature. When referring to water temp, is it as simple as reading the water temp off of my fish finder, which reads at the surface? Or do I need to be thinking about reading the temps in deeper water? Andrew, you have asked a question that I live by. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hijack you, Tyler, but you know this.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging off the back of my boat, is there not a submersible thermometer?
There is one.
There is. Okay. Here's the deal. Pro tip. It's time for another rave, everybody. I'm kidding. Sorry. You know I'm going to edit in like the most ridiculous crap, Tower. I hope you know that.
Oh, I know that.
I already know the thumbnail. It's going to be a muskie at a rave. So anyway, the deal with like subsurface water temps, okay, is this. If let's say that I'm looking at a lake that's very even, right? It's a bowl-shaped lake or whatever. Let's say one of your, like you just sent this article, which is going to be an awesome one about these small lakes. And let's say you get a, what, a 500-acre lake? That's not unreasonable, right?
Yeah, okay. 300, 500.
Okay. A small body of water.
Yeah.
Let's take a small Wisconsin lake that is season opener. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm spitballing here a little, Tyler. But a season opener temperature would not be uncommon to be, what, 49 through 55? Huh?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Okay.
Early May and
yeah.
Warmer.
So let's go 55. Just for on the top. 55 on the top. It's 55 in the shallows, pretty even across the top. What I'm going to do is I'm going to back out of the shallows. I'm going to find my warmest section. So let's say I have the north side of this small lake. I'm going to back out of that sucker, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out where the temperature gradient is beneath the boat. Okay? So let's say the surface is 55, and at 5 feet down, right, it's 51, 49, right? That's my cutoff for how deep I'm going to fish that day.
Mm.
So if it's 55 on the surface and it's 49 5 feet down, that means bucktails, that means shallow raters, that means I've got them bunched up into this small slice of 5 feet of water. If it is permeating deeper than that, let's say I'm on a body of water and it's 55 for the first 10 feet, I need to think about 55 from 0 feet to 10 feet. Whatever the warmest water is and as deep as it goes is where I fish. That's the most important stuff to me because I go warmer water, more active fish, more susceptible to bite. I would rather pull the fish out of 55 degree water than 49 degree water. And that permeates throughout the entire water column. It's just like in trolling. If I'm looking at like open basin, let's take like the little lake you guys are fishing all the time, right?
Yep.
If that sucker is 63 across the board, across the top, right? 63 edge to edge. But 4 feet down, 3 feet down, it's 59, right?
Yeah.
I'm only worried about 3 to 0.
Dude, that is spot on.
Because 75 and down, 77, let's go with 77. 77 and down through 40 is premium musky temps, right? 40 to 77, right? The I can't talk cause I'm dumb, but the narrower of a window as I can get is what I want to focus on. So let's say summer, it's 77 peak temperatures in northern Wisconsin. It doesn't happen all the time, right? You don't always get like peak temperatures in Canada and all this stuff. You might always get 77 up there, but let's say it's 77. I'm in Eagle River, Wisconsin, and the lake is 77 on the surface. And I am diligent enough to drop a thermometer 4 feet down. And at 4 feet down, it is 68 degrees. I'm going to, once I see that temperature break, I'm only going to focus on 4 to 0, which I can eliminate bulldogs. I can eliminate deep running cranks. I can start eliminating baits, which means I'm only going to focus on certain presentations. That's the smart way to do it, in my opinion. I mean, am I going far afield here, or what do you think?
Oh, dude, that is such a great way to do it. I mean, it's genius, actually. That's analytical.
Well, I mean, you're analytical as they come, and I mean, it's just you just got to get analytical on it. I mean, dude, warmer water, more active fish. Period. These are cold-blooded creatures. They're freaking snakes. You know, the warmer the climate, the more active they are. Do you want to fish for the sluggish fish that's 10 feet down, or do you want to get the one that's going to eat a topwater or a bucktail?
The one that's going to eat, man.
And so yeah, that's- and that's the thing is, after these things eat, let's say it's like, we're talking these temps, but let's say I'm given the option of, oh gosh, 39 to 45, right? Open water's 39 and the shallows are 45, right? Where do you want to fish?
45.
Yeah. I mean, narrow it down so it alleviates a lot of question marks. You go, okay, I know, and this is what I do a lot of times. I'm sorry, I'm just wigging on this question, but I do it all. This is how I focus. This is my one of my main things that I focus on is if I'm looking at these temps and I go, you know, the top 6 feet are this, right? Let's say 60 and 6 feet down is 55. That's not uncommon. 5 foot temp, you know, 5 degrees in 5 or 6 feet, right? Mm. Let's say it's a 5 degree temperature break. So the first major impactful digit that I read is 6 feet down. I go from 60 to 55 in a matter of 6 feet. I go, ooh, below that, it's dropping like a stone, right? If I can narrow that down, in that window of 5 to 6 feet, I know if my level of light penetration is only 3 feet, let's say I can only see my bait down 3 feet under the surface or 4 feet under the surface, right? Guess where the fish are? Right there. So you're making a slice of that entire, the epidermis, this top layer of the lake. You're able to narrow down that any active muskie is going to be in that area. So if light penetration and temperature align, we know how deep they are. That's it.
That was perfect.
All right. Sorry. I'm on my soapbox. You have to argue with me. That's what Chaz does. Chaz has got to come in with something like, well, you know, one time I was fishing with Joe and we caught him in the cold water. Shut up, Chaz. You're wrong. Wrong. Say it. Say wrong, Tyler.
You're wrong, Chaz.
Thank you very much. Sorry, folks. We're trying our best here. You got the two dumbest guys in the sport trying to answer your questions here. Me and the guru are doing our best. All right. I'm going to hit you with one, Tyler. This is something I don't think you do anyway.
Okay.
So we're going to see what you answer, and then I'm going to either applaud you or correct you, okay? So here's the game. Right. If you get the answer right, you can have one of my old DRs out of my tackle box. I know which one you want. You want that green one. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The Charlie Pike, the broken back. Jointed, you looked at it and said, hey, Joe, you got any of those? And Joe goes, I don't have any more of those, and I have the last one on the planet. If you get this right, I'll give it to you, okay?
Okay.
No pressure. Booker says, I was recently watching a show where there are trolling bucktails. He said, can you put trolling charts for bucktails on the app? He says, I love the app and all that it provides. He said, I love seeing you and Joe on the Muskie Shop video. By the way, me and Joe just did a little promo video for the Muskie Shop. Jay at the Muskie Shop is hosting a thing. He's calling, I love it. He's calling it the Muskie News or Breaking Muskie News. I can't remember. I've probably had a couple Pepsis here, but the Muskie Report, that's what it is. Am I right, Tyler? It's Muskie Report. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's Muskie Report.
So he's doing the Muskie Report. We were on there. Jay is hilarious. Jay is one of the best, nicest people in the entire business, and he's doing the Muskie Report. If you haven't watched it, get your butt over to the Muskie Shop's YouTube channel and watch it. But thank you very much for your support on that. But Booker wants to know, why do we not have trolling charts for bucktails on the app? You can win that depth raider you want so bad. Think hard, young Padawan. Think hard.
I just don't see how you could. I mean, the only way you can get a bucktail to go deeper is by going slower. I mean, you troll slower, the deeper it goes. But mm-hmm. I don't see how you could have a trolling chart for bucktails unless you had like some sort of. Not really. You could just accomplish that with a downrigger if you wanted to go deeper.
Right, but there's no consistency. You nailed it.
No.
You still can't have that bait. I was just screwing.
I'm going to get it from you now.
I know you will. You'll steal it right in my box. Every bait this dude owns, he has stolen from Joe Booger. Everyone. He's bought three in his life, folks. He literally, he's the great. Huh?
Chaz is worse than I am.
I know he is.
He is so much worse. Dude, he's bad, man.
You guys are so grubby. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm teasing that amazing Charlie Pike neon green bait is yours, my friend. Next time we fish together, hopefully I lose it before then. And I just look at it and say, I lost it, man. Anyway, Booker, the thing is, like, if you're trolling bucktails, bucktails are always going to have some lift, right? So the faster you go, the higher they run in the water. The slower they go, the lower they run in the water.
Yep.
The really method of controlling how deep a bucktail is, like you said, is with a downrigger or using your rod. So let's say I've got on my boat, I am the cheapest dude on the planet. And so I run the Cabela's Depth Master trolling rods. They're cheap. They're like $30. It's sort of like whether TRS or whatever they have from Shimano. You know, it's a trolling rod. Who cares? Go to Walmart and buy a freaking catfish rod. Whatever. Doesn't matter. So the way I'll control my bucktails is actually how much of the rod tip I have in the water. And so, like, let's say I want to get 4 feet down. I'll make sure I know that thing's 4 feet under the water, right? There's going to be a modicum of lift, but I might put a little bit more weight in the front. I know they make, like, trolling girls. Musky Mayhem makes, like, a trolling bait that's heavier, but no matter what you do, those are going to have lift to them. So you either have to use a downrigger or you need to use your rod tip and bury it. So I'll have a 9-foot rod setting vertically in the water, right? So at 9 feet, that thing is still going to bend and that's still going to rise. That 9-foot rod, my only level of confidence, if I got 20 feet out, I still think that bucktail's probably running at 6 to 5. And so, you know, the only way to really control that, I mean, it's an inexact science. It really is. So the slower you go, the lower it will run in the water column. The more rod tip you have in the water, the lower it'll run the water column. There's really not a great recipe for me to put on the app or for anybody to make a trolling chart to go, if I run a MEPS giant killer at 2.3 miles an hour on 80-pound braid, how low will it go? And the reason being is rod tip angle.
Yeah.
If you've got that thing on a trolling mast 5 feet in the air, that thing's going to be skipping across the water. You know what I'm saying? It's just that it's just the physics of it. So what you've got to do is and I would say flatly, and Tyler, you've done it. Trolling bucktails is slightly an inexact science.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. So, Booker, what I would recommend is this, is whatever, like, let's say you're running boat X with these trolling rods and these are the bucktails you have. What you got to do is you got to sort of source that out yourself. The best way to do that is let's find a spot on the lake where you go, I know for a fact this hump in the lake comes up at 7.5 feet, right? And you want your bucktails to run at 7.5 feet, guess what you got to do? You got to find out how much line and what the rod angle is or additional weight you got to put on there to get that thing to stick in whatever you're trying to hit. That's it. And so once you've got your speed, your rod tip angle, and additional weight, then you know on your rig that is how you can hit those depths. And it's just going to take some playing with it. The way I figure out, like, trolling charts and the way I do this stuff is I'll have a flat where I know it's 15 feet for X amount of feet, and I'll do anything and everything, as much line as it takes or whatever speed it takes to achieve hitting at 15 feet. And that's the only way you can do it, is just like trial and error. So you've just got to find a place that you're confident in the depth. You're confident that you can control your boat and consistently run over that spot until you like achieve those depths. That makes sense, Tyler? What do you think, man?
That's absolutely perfect.
You're my hype man. Thank you. Cue the techno again. Hype man. All right.
That's what I'm here for, man.
This is getting ridiculous. You know this is going to sound retarded when I edit it. You know I'm putting in something ridiculous right there. I've been partying hard, folks. We all have. God bless you people still working. The rest of us have been sitting around like schlubs. I did, man. Tyler, did I text you this week some of those fish?
Yeah.
Dude, I had a guy come down.
I was very jealous.
Oh, man. I was out there fishing. Of course, non-essential businesses are closed, so I was not guiding. Thank you, State Attorney General. Totally not a guide trip. Anyway, we went out there, and a buddy, we came down and just kicked butt, dude. It's ridiculous. I mean, the weather's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Up north and everywhere you go, it's like it's looking good. And I'm sitting here going, all this shutdown stuff is just screwy. You know, it's crazy. But that willow buck, dude, we were just thumping. And it was one of those baits. I used to throw those back in the day and just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Joe relaunched it. And to be honest with you, this fish came on the old willow buck, which is actually a crappier version of the new one. I've got the new one, and it's like 40 feet up in a tree right now. Some this dude, Joe sent me a new one. This dude launches it, like, literally. I look at the guy and I go, well, if you want to fish for squirrels, you ought to use nuts. You know, because this thing is in the top of a freaking tree. What do? You know?
Dude, that, I am just so excited. I got sent to Willow Buck 2, man, over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to use it.
The cool thing, I've got the old ones. I actually had to call Joe this week because the old ones go out of tune a little bit. So if you're an old timer or you're an old school musky fisherman like me and you used to fish the Willow Bucks, you know, they were good for a couple fish. And I ran into this that this week because I have a ton of the old ones. Like, I was pulling them out of the package, which is a whole other story. But they'll get out of tune. They'll just, like, after a couple of fish, they'll get bent out or screwed up. And I was calling Joe, like, how do I fix these? The new willow bucks, they did a different temper on them, by the way. So, like, you know when they quench, yep, quench thine blade? I mean, I don't think we're talking, like, that Forged in Fire show kind of blade, but the blade on the Booker tail. Literally, Joe Booker quenches every blade in a vat of acid in front of a dragon, Tyler.
I can verify that.
You've seen it. You've seen it. He goes to Mount Doom and quenches the blade on these things. Sorry, folks. I've been drinking Pepsis all day, all freaking day, because I'm bored. But anyway, so Booker clenches these blades on Mount Doom, and they're a much stronger blade now. And they don't got a tune. Like, if you notice the rigidity of that blade, it's actually, like, harder than even, like, on that willow buck is a tougher blade as far as, like, bendability than, like, a 700 Booker and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a cool bait. Sorry, I'm off on a tangent here. My tangent buddy's gone. Hum me a sad song, Tyler. Hum something sad is what I said to you. Ooh, what you say?
No.
You know, Chaz is gone, folks. He has a crippling STD and can't do the podcast today, but he'll be back in a couple days, folks. So,
guys are stuck with the second-rate musket guru.
Man, we suck.
Yeah.
We suck so bad, Tyler. I love you to death. But do you remember, okay, folks, if you like tangents, do you remember when we did that Imogen Heap song to Joe?
Oh, wait. Remind me. I kind of have a...
We were on Iron Jaw, and he was complaining about not catching a fish, and we both did that. We're like, what you say?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
And he looked at us like he was so mad. It's like typical, like, YouTube video, like somebody, like, announced something sad and they play this song by this woman named Imogen Heap.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
every,
yeah,
sad thing ever. And for some reason, me and you both did it out of nowhere. It was so, it was literally a floating meme, folks. We were
7 days floating meme. It got crazy.
It really did. Tyler Anders is the only person that I've ever seen on the boat that can fart downwind and it'll hit you in the front of the boat.
Dude, it travels upwind, man.
Literally. I've seen Joe's trying to cast, I do believe he's trying to cast a glide rider, and that thing went 4.5 feet and smacked the top of the water because he was going to vomit. If you remember that, we're coming around where Ghidorah caught it, but we were coming around those big rocks, Monstro, Not Monstro. I think it's Monstro, where he cut the big one on the shallow raider. And we're coming out of these rocks, and Tyler just, this horrific squeaker. Just, and I'm not into, like, I'm not a dick and fart joke kind of guy. It's not my humor. And I'm standing there, and I'm literally, like, salivating because I'm going to throw up. And Joe Booker's at the front of the boat and just goes, God, grief!
Yeah, I got in so much trouble for
that. Dude, and the wind was howling. God, if the wind had not been howling, we may have died. You might have killed a living legend.
Yeah, I don't know how it traveled upwind, man. But
God bless you, son.
I've been kicked out of our lodge before. I can't even go to the bathroom in the lodge anymore.
I believe what out of North Korea there, the front. No, we'll save that for another day. But man, that is we call it North Korea. Anyway, I'm so sorry, folks. Me and Tyler are morons. We love the crap out of each other, and we're trying our. But obviously, Chaz is the glue of the podcast. Okay, folks. He's such a reasonable person. I would sit here and talk about the most obtuse things possible if it weren't for him. Anyway, up is next is Jason. I'm so sorry, Tyler. God. Anyway, y'all right there? You're gonna make it. Folks, if you've ever seen this man eat, it's literally like if you starved 30 possums. If you trapped 30 possums in a trash can, right, and you held them there for like a month and you didn't feed them, and you beat the trash can with a stick every day on time, and then finally you let these possums out to eat, that's what watching Tyler Andrews eat is. It's like literally turning 30 starving possums loose on a meal. Anyway, our next question is up. It's from Jason. Jason says, do you only fish for muskies when you see them on your graph, or do you hammer spots hoping one will come around? So I'm guessing from Jason's question, it's probably a newer angler question, and sort of what I call a Nintendo fishing question. Ooh. Right? I call it tender fishing. You go down there to the flea market and buy some tender tapes, right? So here's the deal. I don't fish spots based upon whether I saw a muskie or not on the graph, period. It's literally, like I said, if we're looking for a schooling fish of bass or something like that, that's a probability, or walleye. But don't count on your electronics, because a lot of times, depending on what generation of electronics you have, or how intently you're paying attention, or how well it's scanned, or your speed, muskies are generally so shallow you're not going to see them. So, you know, don't roll into a spot and go, there's no muskies here, without making a cast. I focus on traditional patterning based upon water, weather conditions, far more than I do my electronics.
I'm muskie fishing all day, every day. As soon as muskie season opens, I'm not fishing for anything else. I'm not, but you know, I mean, I'm not even fishing electronics this year.
Yeah.
I'm not even paying attention. You don't need them. I'm fishing spots that look good because I feel like a muskie would be there.
Right.
And I pound them, and I tear them apart, and I figure out if somebody's home or somebody's not.
And dude, the thing is this. I think with the modern electronics, it's getting a little spooky where, you know, with side scan, you can pull in and look. And I mean, I'm notoriously bad now. Like, if I'll cast a place, I'll side scan it on my way out to go, did I just not trigger that fish? It's not even fair. It's getting to the point of ridiculous. But don't focus too much on it. Like, put your casts in, because you're not going to see everyone. You're just not. I maybe in 5 years, I would answer that question differently. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a time. I mean, I know we're going to live to see it, where we go, wow, this thing just told me there's 7 shad over there. There's 4 suckers. There's a catfish with a lisp, and there's 2 muskies.
I think it's an important thing to not rely on your electronics as much. Of course, they're important, but the instinct portion of muskie fishing is far more important.
Dude,
than that.
My grandfather used to go out and just beat the brains out of these things with a Pfluger Mustang and a rowboat. Everything is a bonus. Don't focus on the electronics. That's like the biggest thing I've been talking about. Side scan. And a lot of my clients, they want to learn about electronics, and I love teach them. But that's one thing I tell them. I say, it is a tool. It is not a method.
Yeah.
It's a tool, not a method. Don't rely on electronics yet. Like I said, we'll be picking them off. Like literally, at some point, there's going to be like a laser beam that shoots off the end of your rod that says, "There's the muskie." You know what I'm saying? It's going to be to that point. It's going to be ridiculous. But right now, focus on traditional patterning and putting those casts in. The next one up, man, we got a ton of people named Joe. So Joe, maybe it's Joe Booker asking me questions. What do you think?
That's a possibility.
Joe, stop asking me questions. You can't have all my secrets, dude. I mean, it's literally, he's just wearing me and Chaz out wanting to know everything we know, you know? It's pathetic. We've literally stolen everything we know from Joe Booker, folks. Anyway, Josie says he loves the podcast. Well, the podcast loves you. He said, you know, I'm picking up a ton of tips. And he said, I'm listening a bunch, learning things that, you know, I can't learn from other sources. I'm so glad to hear that. He said, I've been making my own bucktails. And he said, I've been making them for a couple months. And he said, I'm curious to know, on an 8-9 blade combo, do you recommend size 7 trebles? Right? Or would I be fine with one treble, or should I put the second treble up above the skirt? What are your hooking percentages? What's your recommendation on treble hooks with 8-9 blades or bucktails?
With the treble hooks, I only put one on. I do not, what's it called? The stinger hook?
Yeah.
Right above the skirt? I take those off all my bucktails.
Really?
I've probably only got hooked one fish that was hooked on the stinger treble hook. Uh-huh. I mean, honestly, I just take them off. They're just low percentage. At least for me.
I won't run without them.
Mm.
I mean, literally, like you said that. I was shocked you said that. You sound like Chaz, so now we can argue. Prepared to argue. No, in all honesty, I won't run without the second hook. And that's because I've had fish where if they T-bone it, right?
Yep.
If they come up and they're blade hitters or they're T-boners, when I've set the hook, I've set into the side of their face, which is not a great place because once they turn away from it, they're gone.
Yep.
And when I say that, it's anecdotal because, I mean, that might be like 3 fish. But it's just my personal experiences have made me want to have that. I know a little factoid. He probably doesn't want us telling everybody in the podcast, but tell the folks what Joe runs on all his. ADOTs.
ADOTs, yeah, the monsters. I'm running those too.
He runs an ADOT on his, even on like 700s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so yeah, I don't think there's like a perfect hooking configuration. There's not. I mean, if I'm like, say I'm in Canada, I'm on Eagle. I don't really, when you say that, I'm trying to think, you know, I'm going through my head here, dude.
Yeah.
Where have I caught a stinger hook, like a front hook on a bucktail? In Canada, I don't think I have. Maybe, yeah, I'm sure there's one or two, but like we're talking thousands. I mean, most of them just come up and hog the thing. So
yeah, I'm only at one. That's all I got.
That's literally how many muskies you've caught so far, right?
I'm only at one, folks.
Folks, literally,
I'm here.
But it's big, boys. It's a big fish. I'm just busting you. You know, how can you be on the podcast without me picking on you? You know, dude. I mean, I guess the best answer for that is like you've got to base that off your conditions. Here's one thing that I dig about the extra hooks, right? Okay, let me ask you this. And me and you go back and forth. Are you running a front hook on 10s or not?
On 10s?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
No.
There's so much bait there. I feel like I've got to have it, right? Mm-hmm. So on a 10, it's non-negotiable for me. If I'm running like a 700, I can go without it, but I mean, I just like, but you're talking to the same guy that'll take the middle hook off of a shallow rater with no problem and go, I don't want 3 hooks. So I think it's, I think it's personal.
Yeah. It's up to the angler. I personally, I like upsizing all my hooks. If I, can change a 7 to an 8. I'm going to do that if I can change a 6 to a 7. I'm going to do that.
Literally. Tyler buys all his hooks from GatorHooks.com, size 17s.
I have swiped a few 8s from Joe's Garage from time to time.
I don't have any 8s yet. I want some, though. Dude, here's the thing. The only 8s that I have like 2, right? I keep swapping them to a bulldog. It's a vicious bulldog hook. And I just, like, I'm so cheap, I haven't been like, oh, I'm going to buy more 8s, because it's like, you know, I got 7s coming out the ears, but those are like huge hooks, dude.
Oh, they're monster. The musky doesn't have to be anywhere near it. It's just going to get hooked.
No joke. All right, man. Our next question is from Joe K. Joe says, really enjoying the podcast. Well, Joe, we're really enjoying that you're enjoying the podcast. He said, when you and the dude go off on something as far as a tangent, I grab a Pepsi and go, here I go again. I love it. Well, I just grabbed another Pepsi, too, to be honest with you there, my friend. Here the Pepsi tab there. But, we're notorious for tangents here on the podcast, and the guru's just as bad. But he says, what I'm asking is this. He said, what would be your approach to open water? A lot of times, you know, I'm heading my spots, I'll see some kind of suspended bait fish and think, is Mr. Muskie around? Would you cast or troll? Personally, I prefer to cast, but I'm willing to try both. Thank you for the info and entertainment. Man. We're pathetic. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're such pathetic entertainment. we try our best. We're just so dumb.
We're subpar.
We're subpar. Listen, the musky world's it's a small world if we're entertaining, folks. We are the subpar. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Chaz. Chaz is totally subpar. Would you not agree, Tyler?
Extremely boring.
Let's do some word association. First word that comes to my mind, Chaz Martin, pathetic. What's the first word that comes to your mind?
Food.
What a fool. Chaz, the reason Chaz doesn't have an STD, folks, the reason Chaz is not here, he's been cleaning soup out of his car for 4 days.
So. I was so bummed. And a little bit irritated with him that he sold his car and did not let me eat in it before he sold it.
Dude, we've gotten so many emails about French onion soup from the last podcast. I love it. You guys are great. All our listeners are hilarious.
I'm saying this right now for all the listeners and Chaz that I do plan to eat in his new car, and he will never know.
Dude, what do you think? Here's the deal, right? Me, you, Chaz, and we just start dumping coleslaw in that bitch.
Dude, I'll have coleslaw in my pockets.
Let me ask you this, because it's me and you, and this is the way we talk anyway. Folks, if you haven't noticed, this is just an excuse for me and Tyler to talk for an hour. What would he do if Joe just, like, whipped out, like, a sloppy Joe? What if it was Booker, and Booker's just like, I'm eating this thing, bro?
I don't know what the reaction would be. I'd like to be in the back seat to watch,
me
though.
Too. Me and you, we would be in the back seat with those two around. We'd be in the back like children. But Chaz isn't here because he's cleaning his car, folks. Anyway, back to reality here. Open water fish, should I cast, should I troll? Am I wasting my time? To be honest with you, Joe, this week, here's the deal. Post-spawn muskies, they were suspended. They were suspended at 25 feet. I wasn't even fishing edges, and I caught like 6 in 3 days. So it's worth your time, period. I don't care where you're at. These fish are not always up there laying on some rock or some stump or some twig, right? It's just not what they're going to do. So if you're seeing dominant bait fish, if you're seeing things on your graph that say, hey, I should stop and look, which, dude, this goes back to the last question we were just talking about what I called Nintendo fishing, right? You know, pay attention to it. Don't ruin your life over it, though. You know, go in there, check it, fan cast it. What does Joe call it? The clock drill.
Yeah.
Go into a spot. If you see bait fish, go around the boat. you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, all the way around. You get what I'm saying here. Go around the thing, put your casts in. If something happens, you found a pattern. If nothing happens, go on into your chalet spot and cast it as you would normally. But, you know, suspendos are such a weird thing. Yeah, Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong here, and I'm just going to go off on another billionth tangent here. Do you know why I think it's so hard to describe suspended muskies? Because it's different every body of water you go to. Like, for me to say, like, whatever, Moose Knuckle Lake or whatever you fish on, you know, all these things, out Lumberjack Road, you know, I don't know what they call these things, such dumb stuff up there. But you go to these different bodies of water, and one lake might have suspendos and the other one won't. And sometimes it's like the fish will suspend in the mouth of one bay. And then you get
each lake has its own personality. Like,
yeah,
all different.
I'm just thinking, I'm going through stuff that I've seen where it's like, I've seen rivers where fish suspend out in heavy current. And you go, this is stupid. So, you know, as far as finding like solid info on like, this is what they do and this is how they suspend and this is where they're going to suspend, it can be fish suspending at 5 feet over 60 feet, or it can be fish suspending at 10 feet over 20 feet. So you got to sort of suss it out and spend the time. What I would do if I'm seeing a bunch of bait fish and it's worth my time, put some effort into it. You know what I mean? Go 60-40. 60 on the edges, 40 suspended. And that'll allow you enough time to figure something out. You know, if you fish your lake and you go, there's nothing happening, I'm spending 40% of my time open water casting and nothing's happening, give up on it. You know, I'm not saying one day, I'm saying over the course of a season.
Yeah.
You know, trolling suspended fish, I'm good with that if I can troll multiple rods. So it depends on where you're at. If you control like 7 rods, oh, hell yeah. You know, it's game on Donkey Kong. You know, if you control 1 rod, I would rather cast it.
That's what I do, man.
You know,
you can't troll too much, too many rods. So if I'm marking bait fish, fan cast them and move on. If I catch something, I catch something, mark it, and come back later.
Well, if you got to follow, you know. You know, that's the thing is you've got to get enough. And I think, Joe, that what it goes to is this. You've got to get enough data for you to extrapolate from. You know, the old joke, Tyler's going to be a very fancy scientist here, folks. We got us a fancy scientist here on the podcast. But, you know, Tyler's going to work for, like, Dow Chemical or something ridiculous before it's too long. And one of my favorite science thing are there are people that can extrapolate from incomplete data, and there are people that, and that's it. That's the end of the quote. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's people that can't, but you leave it open ended, and then people get it, and some people don't. So you've got to, Jerry, what you got to do is go with the data you've got. So you've got pelagic bait fish. So what you've got to do, you've got to add to that. Now it's going to take time and diligence. And you might find a pattern nobody else is seeing, and you might just dominate that lake, or you're going to find nothing and you've wasted a bunch of time, but at least you can eliminate that open water pattern. So it's a win-win either way. Would you agree, Tyler? I mean, would you think that if I can eliminate open water patterns during a certain season on my body of water, that takes a lot of pressure off me down the road?
Well, then you don't have to think about it, because in my mind, I'd be casting those weed lines going, I wonder if there's anything out behind me. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you don't try it, you're always going to be wondering. I personally like to eliminate stuff right away.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's
on to better spots.
Right. You're not trying to extrapolate from incomplete data.
Yeah.
I know in the springtime, they're not suspended because for 2 years, every spring I've spent enough time casting open water that they're not going to show up. I've trolled it. I've cast it. I know they're not there. There you go.
There's your data.
I mean, that's it. that you came here for hard facts, folks. We gave you hard facts. Man, this is ridiculous. The other Joe. This is like three Joes in a row. Booker, stop emailing me. I'm going to put a restraining order on you, all right? Anyway, he says, my dudes. I love it. My dude's going to try my hand at trolling big baits in open water this spring, early fall. Perfect segue. I don't do these in any order. It always just works out that way. He's going to try trolling big baits early spring, or excuse me, spring, early summer. He says, I'm on a Minnesota Gen Clear Cisco based lake, and I'll be running 1-3 lines. Should I be running planer boards, or can I get away with short line trolling? Any other tips on open water trolling would be appreciated. Gen Clear, to me, right, screams planer boards.
Okay.
That is just my thing. Now, I'm going to go off on a slight tangent here. My client this week, I know he listens to the podcast. What's up, Eric? Eric and me caught a crap ton of, well, it literally went 41, 42, 44, 46, 46, 47, and a 48 this week. That's
Damn,
six.
Dude.
That's a week, boys. Come see me. You know what I'm saying? But clear water, cold temps. A lot of those fish were way off the boat, and you couldn't get them in because it's clear. You've been with me where it's just like, I can show you gin clear and I can show you mud. You know what I'm saying? But what we noticed is the breakaways from those fish were coming way off the boat. Tyler, I've talked to you about Eagle. You've seen it on clear water things. Sometimes clear water is a bad thing because it gets spooked off from the boat.
Oh, so easily, man.
So, if you're talking gin clear, I want to think about planer boards. But my thing with planer boards, too, is I don't want to be dragging around some giant orange planer board in gin clear water. Now, I'm sure there's some dude that's like, could kick my butt at trolling that trolls gigantic orange planer boards in gin clear water. But my personal experience has said, I don't want that. I don't want that big visual effect. There's a planer board. They're not a sponsor of the app. They're not an endorsee. I paid full price for them. They are bad to the bone. Called Supra Cruise. They're from Europe. They're from the Netherlands. One of my clients, Tim from the Netherlands, turned me on to them. They're a really small, compact planer board that I can pull like a 12-inch jig behind.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're made for trolling salmon on the Baltic Sea. That's no joke. Like, literally, the guy invented these things. You know, it looks like they were, the design on these things looks like they came from an IKEA. You know, it's like this really funky, dude, they're like angular and weird.
Musky IKEA. That's the only thing I can think about.
Watch
right
out,
now.
Musky Shop. Me and Tyler Andrews literally just had the best idea of all times. We're opening Musky IKEA. What do you think? You can come in and you can buy it's all put together lures. It'll be like a headlock laying there on the ground, and it comes with epoxy. You just got to put it all together yourself.
Yeah, and it's missing one part.
Yeah, it's missing. You got to write in, and we'll send you the one part that we didn't pack in the box. Literally, you buy a bulldog from Musky IKEA, and it's just a jar of gel and a wire harness. You got to pour it yourself. You saved 10%, you know, but you got to simply... Best idea ever, folks. People would just be dying. Your bucktails is just a bag of parts. There's a skirt and beads and a wire in there. There you go. You know, save some money. Musky IKEA. I'm going to patent this. Watch out, Musky Shop. You guys are done. That's it. People love assembling their own hard baits. Literally, Suic is just a bottle of paint and a piece of cedar wood and a pocket knife. You gotta trim it down yourself. All right, steps 1-4. There you go. Now, that planer board, dude, is bad. Here, it's just a funky design. Like I said, some people get it, some people won't. Where you go, that's a little weird, but it works. Gin clear, I want at least, if I'm trolling three, I'm going to have one away from the boat. Right? And open water. bait fish, and deeper than you think. Joe actually had this question from another dude talking about casting like pelagic bait fish for siskus and tulabies and all that stuff. And, you know, that's the thing is like light penetration. Gin clear lakes and like sections of the Eagle fish in Canada that are like gin clear. A lot of time these fish are deeper than stain sections just because light penetration. You know, I mean, clear water doesn't hold temperature like stain water, right? Correct? That's a fact. Yeah. Correct? Fact check me here real quick, science boy.
So that's fact check.
Fact check. Thank you very much. We got a you're the Snopes of musky fishing. Thank you very much. But anyway, so clear water doesn't hold temperature like that. Light penetrates deeper into the water in clear water, correct?
Yeah.
Muskies are a shallow water low light predator, correct?
Yep.
So if they're in gin clear water and they're pelagic, are they going to be shallow or deep?
Deep.
There you go. So what I would do, I would be targeting right at the level of bait. Let's say I go out and I find a group of Ciscos that are running 10 feet. I don't know what a normal Cisco school in Minnesota is going to run. But, you know, me and Ty, we've been through Minnesota a bunch, right, Tyler? We just don't stop because we don't have any DUIs. We go across the border. But anyway. I'm going to have to edit that out. Hold on. 18. Should I leave it or not, Tyler?
Leave it.
All right. So anyway, we go ahead and go across the border. But if you got to fish those lakes and set deep open water and stuff, just get where the bait's at. I don't want to run deeper than the bait. Run on the outside of those bait schools. Run through them if you want. But they're telling you where the prey is. The predators are not going to be that far away.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I've seen people do where it's clear water that's goofy is here we're running baits that are 3 feet and I can see down 12 feet. You know, I'm sure it works every now and again or it works in low light conditions. But the vast majority of the day, once light is penetrating that water column, you want to get deeper. So I like the idea of running a planer board on that. I would run a planer board that was not super like loud colored. I would not run one that's gigantic. You know, try to be savvy about that because I'm sure there's some guy that's going to write me an email like they do every week and go, oh, those things don't care what color that planer board is. You know, keep fighting there, keyboard warrior. But you know what I'm saying? That's just my personal experience. I would run something subdued, get it off the boat and get it a long way off the boat and give yourself some more chances. Man, when I got hung up on that one. The next one up is Kevin. Kevin goes, hey guys, love the show, especially like the different bait mods you talk about. Any mods you do to topwater baits?
Ooh.
Yes, I do.
I won't answer. I know you have your mods.
Well, I mean, sorry, let me just get up here on my old soapbox then, folks. Just say something here while I finish my Pepsi. Are you ready, Tyler? Hold on. I'm going to do it right here in the mic. Anyway, topwater mods. Man, this is total class, isn't it? Listen, folks, I've been wearing sleeping pants for 45 days, okay? I really don't want to hear it. Topwater mods. Dancing Raider. I go with monster hooks on that thing. Dancing Raider for me for a walk the dog, that thing is, I've got more hooks on it than I got bait. I'll run two 7-0s on it. I think it comes with 4s, and I like the way that it runs better with 2 7s or 2 of the big KVD musky mustad hooks. I'll run those in 6s. So that's a mod there. Now, if we want to get moddy and weird, right? So I make my own flap tails out of Gooch's Tallywhackers. You know, you remember Gooch's Tallywhackers, Tyler? That's probably before your time, right?
I have a few hanging in my garage.
I bet you do. Anyway, so Gooch's tallywhacker, the front end of that thing, I would cut that sucker in half and I will make a flap tail out of it. If anybody's interested, I will send you a clip of how to do it. It is a tiny little flap tail. This is long before, you know, Lee's got some great flap tails. They're big. This is this tiny little flap tail that was a creeper alternative as far as like straight up out of the pack mods that I will do. I do a stinger hook with a 500 series blade on some of my top raiders.
That's the mod I was, exact mod I was thinking of. I wasn't sure if I could share that one or not.
I'm on the fence on sharing it, but I guess here we are. So we've all had this, a fish that will come up and nip a topwater but won't eat it, right?
Yep.
It's classic. A lot of the times that fish may have been caught on a bucktail or a topwater before. You know, if we're talking pressured lakes or something, they'll come up and they're just like nipping at it, but they'll never get the hook. I will use the hook mod. You can find it in some of my other little vids where I do the grub tail mod and I do an extra blade mod on my bucktails where I'm putting a piece of leader wire, right, on the back of the hook. Same fashion. But I'll extend it out further. I'll actually put a little 3-aught KVD, one of the same hooks we put on shallow raiders. I'll put that thing sticking out 4 inches behind the top raider. So the fish thinks he's just going to nip at the back hook, and what he ends up doing is he ends up swallowing a little 3-aught behind it. So he never intended on hitting the thing, but he puts his mouth around the little hook, and I get him every time.
Boom, baby.
Boom. Yep. If you wanted a good top water mod, there you have it. I only whip out that trick if I see it. Like if the fish will come up and it'll come up raging behind him. He's sort of mouthing at it or tasting behind the bait. I've caught so many fish that are doing that tasting thing because when they close their mouth and they don't think they have the bait in their mouth, they've got a hook in there. I've done it where up to the point, and I'm sort of like doing it on the fly. There's ways to do it. Once again, if you want to know, write an email or whatever. Maybe I'll do a video about it or something. You can extend that out as far as you want. The longest I think I've ever done is I kept having fish come up rage behind the thing. This was in Canada. They would rage up behind it, open their mouth, guzzling water the entire way, right, and swim off. And I went, heck, I put 10 inches of leader wire behind that thing, and I got him. I got him dead to rights. He came up behind that thing, and I knew when he shut his mouth, you know, I was just going to light him up, and there I had him. So that is a mod as far as tricky short strikes. I can't even talk. Tricky short strikes. Another thing I'll say on top raiders, what does Joe run his? I think he runs 7s on both, right?
Yeah.
So on Joe's top raiders, and I do it on mine, he's running 7-aught trebles. He wants that thing to be a low rider. He wants that sucker to ride low in the water column. And so that's another quick mod that I can think of where I go, if you want a different sound, you want a different vibration in the water, put bigger hooks on that guy. As long as he's broaching the surface, he's breaching the surface with that tail, that bait's working. And so, what is it? Is it Larry or Lenny, the number one top raider, the one that's all beat to death?
Oh.
I think it's Larry.
We're not allowed to touch that one.
We're not allowed to touch it.
No.
That thing's got 2 7-aughts on it, and it has caught, like, every fish from Topwater Terrors. If you've ever watched that video back in the day, it is, like, the best top raider known to man. That thing is just a ridiculous top raider. And it's got 2 7-aughts on it. So that's a thing. Oh, dude, I'm thinking, I'm just wrecking my brain here. A trick I do is if I want a different thump out of a top raider, or if I want out of, oh, dare I say, Lake X. Ooh. If I want a different sound out of a fat bastard, a top raider, a gooch, is any of this stuff, super glue a coin to the blade. It increases the mass of the blade, which will change the sound.
Interesting.
You know, Ty Sennett had a real good idea with that second little hook in there that's just banging on the blade. You can do that with any top raider. All it takes, or not top raider, but any top water. You can do it with a top raider. You can do it with all of them. All it takes is a little ingenuity where you some extra split rings or some wire and some tape or some epoxy, whatever you want to do. if you want more noise out of, I'm trying to think of other top water stuff that I've done. My walking raider, I filled that thing so full of BBs, it sounds like a shotgun coming through the water. It literally is like shika 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 shika. You know, it's just BBs through that thing like crazy. So, you know, noise, sound, flash, anything. There's a very popular Lake X, and I hope I'm not boring you to death here, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Lake X does that Northern Light series, right?
Mm-hmm. With the flash tape on the tail, yeah. Right?
You can go to any truck stop in America and go over to, like, the trucker section and buy the big, big, big reflective tape. Like, they have reflectors for semi-trucks that they put on, like, the sides of those trailers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cut you a little piece of that off and see what it does. That stuff is as flashy gets. So I've done that. As far as tail prop baits, let me think of other walk the dog baits. My Weagles from Suic, I've put big, big, big hooks on those dudes. You know, I just, my biggest thing was like any walk the dog bait, I just, little hooks just don't do it for me. They just don't. I want the biggest freaking hook I can get on a walk the dog. But I mean, that's off the top of my head. Can you think of anything, Tyler? What sort of?
I mean, with top raiders, I usually play with the size hooks, but also kind of, I guess, lighter hooks. What I'm kind of trying to say about that is, say, like, yeah, I have two number sevens. Mm-hmm. One is from one company, one's from another, and their weight just I guess how much they weigh is different between each one.
Yeah, it's going to ride at a different angle.
Yeah. So I play with that. I'll put a real heavy hook in the front of the top raider, a light one in the back, or vice versa, and I get different sounding top raiders that way.
I'm sitting back here in Muskie Mega Dome, or whatever you want to call the studio here, where it's got all the baits hanging up and everything. And you know the Super Stompers with the double tail piece on the top raiders? Where two? I actually have one of those where I've wired them together.
Oh.
Where there's just a piece of epoxy wire that will keep them going at the same speed. You know what I'm saying? They're not going different speeds. Topwater is a sonic game.
Yeah. Right?
It is a visual target with some kind of sonic game going on. A client of mine, dare I mention the name, but a client of mine is the boat partner for years and years and years of Bob Mezencomer, right? Bob Mezencomer is Poe's Giant Jackpot, Thunder on the Water, all the old school stuff. And, you know, the jackpot is one of those baits. Everybody owns it. And the good ones, and I asked him about it. And he said, you're totally right. And he was explaining to me that the good jackpots are the ones that have the biggest whoosh on them. Right? So it's not about the bait walking the dog. It's just this bait doing this rip through the water. You know, that tail. So it's about this thinner tail. You look at a top rider, it's about that thing cupping the water, cupping the air, and pop, 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 pop. So anything that you can do that will sonically change that bait is a mod in my mind. You know, I think quickly, like I said, about gluing stuff to the tail. I know that sounds insane. But the best top raider I own has a gigantic gloop of epoxy on the blade.
Oh.
And it was just a factory defect. It's one of the, you know what I'm talking about. It's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like
dude, the ones that get sent back are the best top raiders ever.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all little known factoid. I'm giving away the ghost here. But all the baits Joe fishes on the show, all the baits Chaz has, all the baits Tyler gets, all the baits I get are factory defects.
They are the best ones, man.
Well, and it's not always the case. I mean, and it's just minor because it might be a finish flaw or a bubble or something like that, you know. But on occasion, you'll get these ones that are just funky weird and you go, that thing's special. So, I mean, we're far afield of the question and probably well past the answer this guy wants. But I would say this, as far as like, don't be afraid to get funky sonically. And when I say that, when I bomb a cast, and like with top water, I bomb those suckers. I'm not a bomb caster until I'm talking top water because I need that extra time. If he misses it or something like that, or if I miss it, we want some extra time for him to get up to the bait. But I am not afraid to bomb it. And what I want is I want to hear that bait as soon as it hits the water. And I'm talking like a spool emptier cast. The louder the topwater bait, the better, in my opinion. I'm not a big fan of subtle topwater. Maybe two fish in my life I've ever caught on a creeper.
I am actually the same way with my top raiders.
Yeah.
I want them basically screaming through that water. I want them yelling, hollering, "Hey, I'm over here."
Yeah. Oh, Booker's that come one that Booker top raider that me and we've mentioned it multiple times on the podcast. That thing is the loudest freaking top raider I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm very jealous.
It sounds like it's like a freaking beaver beating the top, coming through there. So, you know, I love sound. That's why I'm sitting here pontificating about this. So don't be afraid to get weird with it. Just don't. I mean, I've done some stuff where you go, this sucks, and some of it catches fish. Another thing I quickly thought about, and I've seen guys do this, is put a grub on the back. That's not a sonic thing, but if you want something a little bit extra on the back of a top raider or a straight retrieve bait, maybe a ribbon tail is not that big of an idea or that bad of an idea, but think sonics. What is going to make this bait whoosh harder for a walk of the dog or plop harder for a topwater? That's where I'm going. You know, if you want flash, add flash, but the rest is a game of sonics.
I totally agree.
I hear you, man. Well, goodness gracious, have we not talked some BS on this podcast, Tyler?
we just spewed nonsense the whole time.
Please come back, Chaz. I'm sorry about your diagnosis of a horrific, uncurable STD. Women in the Northwoods, watch out. Chaz is coming up there this week. I'm kidding. He's going to punch me right in the teeth. No, Chaz will be back. Chaz has got some stuff going on this week. We're going to do another podcast, but at least me and Ty were able to sort of catch up on the Q&As, guys. We're trying our best. We're a couple handicap morons here doing what we can. Tyler, before we get off here, what do you think about season opener, man? What are your thoughts, dude?
It's going to be interesting. I'm in Wisconsin and quarantine's till the end of May. I don't know what's going to happen, dude, but I tell you one thing, I am fishing no matter what.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as far as last year, was it a late ice out, correct?
Yeah, it was late. Yeah.
You know, so this year I'm from everything I'm hearing from everybody, it ought to be a little bit better of a year.
It is looking that way, and I am very excited. I mean, so, opener last year was a little rough.
Well, and the thing is this, dude, is hopefully this will mean for the first time in about a trillion years you guys have the state to yourselves for locals.
That is nice.
You know, if you need something to look forward to, there's not going to be as many people coming up there. I guess Illinois shut down for, 30 more days? And and I'm not trying to get deep in this, but I from what I understand, you cannot buy an out-of-state license right now in Wisconsin. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's correct, but
I've heard rumors. Google it before you take my word on it. But you know, if you're a local and you're up there for opener, man, this should be one of the best years. Just
Googans be gone, man.
Googans be gone. Well, Tyler, I'll leave you on that note, man. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for putting up with my antics. Me and Chaz will be back with we're going to do a podcast on nothing but big fish here in just a second. Keep sending your questions. Keep writing in, folks. We appreciate the heck out of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one. All right.
Musky reed. Musky reed. Musky reed, musky reed.